Hello, welcome back to the only show that breaks down, cracks up, skews, and reviews each week's DC Comics. I'm putting the tan in Super Stan, Jimmy Scorch.
I'm Jim Warner.
And this is the Weird Science DC Comics Podcast, episode number 534.
The tan and Stan, it just doesn't work for me. It doesn't work, Eric. And you're as, you know, far from a tan as maybe I am. Ah, here we are.
I get to lie on the show. It's a podcast. That it's not a visual thing.
That is true.
I am handsome, everyone.
We have tans made for podcasting.
Jim's
but here
tall.
We are. Yeah. Well, did you like that song, Eric? I ended up saying that, you know, rhyming tall with small and also you, different thing. I don't even remember. You don't see it all. I ended up making it. I wanted you to get mad that you're like, all you have to do is say that you're tall. I'm like, nope, we didn't do it. But here we are. We have episode, what is it? 534? Is that what it is? Anniversary. We don't have a lot of books this week. There's only two books on the show, probably the least amount we've ever had, not an annuals week. But we're going to make the best of it, try to have some fun, Eric, because, boy, these things were hitting hard this week. But before we get to those, let us remind you of all the ways you can find us around the internet. You can go to Twitter at Weird Science DC. Follow us. We'll follow you back. Or you'll follow yourself back. We could also go to the website, WeirdScienceDCComics.com. Go over and check out our YouTube channel, Weird Science Comics. And then last but not least, if you want to help us out and get a ton of bonus exclusive podcasts, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/weirdscience. All these will be in the show notes this week on our Patreon Spotlight show we do every Thursday night. The badasses of the Get Fresh crew. They ended up picking for the two books are our Spotlight Flash number 8 and Green Arrow number 11. So if you're looking for those, they're on the Spotlight show. And we had some fun. We talked about an hour and a half. We were goofing around a bit with different things. We had fun. We had fun with Amanda Waller podcaster.
Mandy.
And then Flash. Other than that. And then Green Arrow. We had fun. Maybe trying to figure out why the Construct Justice League isn't running rampant on the Arrow family right now.
Jim, the biggest secret in DC Comics is the Green Arrow family is stronger than everybody.
Yeah, it seems. And the idea of Constructs fighting Oliver, he can't get that through his head.
No, I don't want to fight my friends.
He's
and
a goldfish. And he gets to that other side of the bowl and he's like, what? Constructs in my family like the constructs I just fought that weren't real? Oh my God, I don't want to fight you. But we had a lot of fun talking about those books. And here we are. We're left with two on the show. Detective Comics and Power Girl. Big books there. Really
obviously
big books. But we're going to get this going here.
Honestly, the idea. Like, we have four books this week. We had to split it in half because what the Patreons picked for the badass, like, you know, Spotlight show. But the idea is, what do you think is the ultimate choice that we could have had for this actual show? What do you think is the best possible combination of these four books? Because I can't tell you which one.
Maybe it would – see, I'd say like – but people hate that Flash book. But now that I know how we went into it, we had a lot of fun talking about podcasting. Maybe that – I don't know. This is just as good as any.
It's, agreed.
You know, you're just picking them out of a hat at this point.
There is
point.
Not a
dealer's
right choice,
choice.
A right combination.
No. There's some tough stuff going on. Now – before we go on, though, I do want to mention that if you are listening and you're hearing this Patreon talk, one of the things we also do is every time there's an annuals week, when you have 5 weeks of comics in a month, we have a Patreon-only show, and that's actually popping up next week. We're going to end up having that annuals week, and I'll even tell you, I won't even wait till the end of the show, Eric. I'm going to tell everybody what we'll be talking about next week. Superman House of Brainiac Special 1, Nightwing Annual 2024, and Flash Annual 2024, just to give people the lay of the land. We'll discuss it again at the end of the show in about a half hour. I don't know how long this show will be because these books are a little
long
crazy
enough.
But again, if you want to double your pleasure, go over to the Patreon, and then next week, if you want to hear that exclusive show, go over, join up on the Patreon. Every level gets it, so whatever you can do there. And if not, then you just pretend that we went on vacation because we won't have a show
on
the regular feed here. We'll talk about this when we get to the end, because now it's time to give a shout out to all the badasses of the Get Fresh crew and to let everybody know the badasses, it's a level of the Patreon. So these people are the highest levels on there and they get to pick all the things that we do, especially that spotlight that we do every Thursday night. But I'm hitting it, Eric.
Hit it. Don't do that.
We have Don't Mention It. That's what you say when I rap. He-Man 3001, David Fink, Jack Halsey, Nick Rust, Trevitt, Wakizashi Gray I, Dad Nation, yeah, Eric K, JLG, the Big Z, he's on vacation, Mark Claire, Mark Claire's show, Mark is going to join me for a couple things down the line sometime soon, Annihilator, Ted Pro. I have something stuck in my throat here.
Oh, God.
Wait a minute. I'm telling you, it's really... I'm back.
Oh, woo! God.
I love punchline. Stork. I think something flew in my mouth. Michael S. Cams. I don't know. Matt Razor. Niels T-Wart. Stephen Baum. I can barely see now. My eyes are watering up. Jason Colby. Sue 42 to me and you. Oh, my goodness.
I just imagine this point in time. Here you are. I'm like, I'm going to do the badass roll call, but I'm also going to eat hot dogs without buns while I do it.
No, I don't know what happened. I told you I have a sore throat, and now all of a sudden, I'm going to have to hit it again.
You didn't tell this. You said, I woke up this morning and my uvula was swollen.
It was, and now I can't talk. Mike, welcome to the badass. See, now we're not going to have a throat. Most people would probably go redo it, Eric. We're not redoing it. I don't know what happened. There's something fluttering down there.
Possessed by a demon. Entered your mouth hole.
I did. It's what happened. It feels like when I do my human beatbox, and it gets you that tickle.
Exactly. Never rap.
Ken Halleck. Now,
of course. Why wouldn't you?
Comic Boom Rocky. Rutgut Rudy. Mark Jager. Bill Beer. Ruben. Carlos. No, this is the one. No Marv, Matthew Arabier, Luke Hollywood, Simon, Luis Manship, Andrew Belfast, Swanee, Anthony G, Josh Million, Batman Beyond Mark, Brandy Murray, that is Brandon up there in Buffalo, Canada, and doxing his ass in Minnesota. As always, Double A Run, shout out to the all-time greats, Reginald Drinkwater, and Rob Lewis. It's the worst. There's tons of times during the recording that you end up having problems, but I can hand it off to you. This is the first time I was screwed.
No, it's not the first time. I just the idea like
not
oh,
that
I've never
stopped like that.
I just like the idea. I've never screwed up the badass roll call.
Well,
not in 534
I'm not saying
episodes.
Screwed it up. I'm saying I couldn't even talk, so I apologize if I ended up messing.
Couldn't talk.
Up.
Tears running Ooh. Down his face. It made his eyes rain.
They still are. I actually am all teared up.
I can't
up.
See.
I have the mind movies going on, thinking, sexy thoughts.
The this end is near.
Here's a little a thing for later. I had sexy thoughts. You'll have to find out what that means later.
I don't think I will.
Sexy thoughts, Eric.
Just the idea. You know what? I had sexy thoughts. Cash register sound. You're going to have to figure out what that means
later.
You're
going to have to figure it out, people. That's what happens. Oh, my goodness gracious. What episode is this?
534.
I just want to remind people, we do not like to go back and do things. We're so lazy that we're not doing that over again. When I edit it, it'll really drive me nuts. But screw that editing. Why don't we just get right out there? But that is it for the beginning. Got two books there.
That's it for everything.
We got two
It can only go
books.
Uphill. That's the thing. As I say, is it going to go uphill from now? Because that sounds like a bit of a hike to me. Because downhill, I think, is a bad thing. But it seems like a really
easy
walk.
You don't think
downhill? I never
know
how to say this.
And also, you go really quick. Like you're on a wagon. You're like, you're out of control.
You're stuck inside of a giant tire spinning around.
Yeah, and then it hits like a ramp, and you go, and then you're in the bubblegum factory. You don't know what the fuck's going on,
but
right?
I want to say it's all going to be uphill from here, but that also sounds terrible. I never know how to say these things.
Yeah, because we're kind of lazy. I don't like to go uphill. I had to do that a lot in West Virginia. That was the worst. And I always talk about it. The idea at that point, it wasn't cool to double strap the backpack. You had to single strap, and I'm telling you, I tore my shoulder. My rotator cuff has the same suits there, just to look cool, which I wasn't anyway. Should have just went full out backpack. I don't know what I was thinking. But as we said, we only have one section of
it's
books.
It's college. It's time to reinvent Jimmy.
It was
single strap
cool
backpack.
Jimmy. Wear them, round shaded glasses and that.
It was round shaded glasses. You mean sunglasses, you mean?
Yeah, like John Lennon glasses.
I
was reinventing myself. And like
You're Superboy.
I'm like, well here, that too. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm gonna reinvent myself. I started drinking alcohol. And I actually bought a toothbrush, Eric. Oh, my goodness. What's outrageous. but that's that, Eric. That's the beginning of the end, I think. That was a hell of an intro deal. I was going to suggest at one point that we just do this straight up like the old days, Eric. Uh-huh. We don't even stop. Just go. I forgot to tell you that, and I forgot to load up the thing. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to hear Eric's favorite K-pop song ever. We're going to get back, and it's not the new Jeans track that just dropped the other day. Did you see that?
Why would I see that?
Did you see Bubblegum? You didn't see that?
Bubblegum in a dish? How many pieces do you wish?
When you say that, that's why I said that thing went to the Bubblegum factory, I think, because I had it on the mind. But we're going to go off right now to the two books right about now. Come on. Does he have a demon in his head anymore, Herc? I think he got rid of it, right?
He's got a Barbados. He's got a demon. Who knows? He's got a consequences in his head.
Consequences as a name and consequences and crescendos. I don't know. You end up with this book. It's wacky. I'll tell
Batman
you.
Batman is back, though, Jim.
Batman is back in Gotham City. But do people remember him? And what is justice, Eric?
Will people remember this run?
Yeah, I think they will. A lot of people had argued with me throughout saying that this was going to go down as one of the greatest runs ever, things like that. Only time will tell, Eric. But
and me,
I just want it to end. I think that down the line, people will say that it is at points, but then when people go to read it, they'll kind of get bored with it. I don't know. It doesn't seem like this crescendo part one is setting it up to really end up like nothing has been explained. And we've been saying this for over a year now, obviously way over a year, about the idea that these concepts, these ideas, even names just out of nowhere, like don't know them. And he just keeps moving past them because he's more into concepts and mood and attitude and things like that. He's got a toot, Eric, is what I'm saying. I just don't get it. I say it a lot. He said and really is proud of the idea that he only writes things for himself. But that's the problem. You have to let us in on it there, Ram.
You know what you're writing about. Let me know what you're writing about.
Yeah. So at the end here, though, it does seem like what he has reverted to is he's going to go with these big Batman themes that we've all seen before. And we've seen him, the idea, I just want Batman to go to Gotham and do something. I want him to go into Gotham and everybody's there lined up, you know, throwing confetti at him, and he's throwing candy to the kids, right? All I could keep thinking of is the Halloween parade.
That's all you want? The Quaker Town Halloween parade?
He's in a fire truck. He's throwing, hey, you get a Mary Jane. You get an all sorts. See, he's a man of his times there back in the day. You get a good and plenty.
I've actually been in this. All you throw is Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, it is. A lot of Tootsie Rolls. It is true. At points, I'm like, why aren't they throwing like the blow pops? They'd probably shatter, like the Tootsie Rolls. They work out, but are they the vanilla Tootsie Rolls? Because I like those better.
It's the ones I'm grabbing.
Yeah, damn right. Remember as a kid?
I just imagine you me throwing candy on the fire truck out there. Like, I am keeping all the vanilla for myself and throwing every other flavor out there.
Son of a bitch. I was going to say, remember when you were a kid or maybe an adult where you're like pushing by people, tackling people, trying to get the shit? I think that the idea of that sort of thing, this is my new rule. If the person throwing the candy is younger than you, you shouldn't be running for the candy. That's just me.
But you see that I think about one time that like my grandparents took me to a church like Easter egg hunt, obviously around Easter, and I wasn't a part of this church. I don't even know if they were a part of this church because it's one of those things where I'd see them like every now and again, but it was around Easter time, like, okay, here's little Eric Lee. He's gonna go out there and do an Easter egg hunt with all the other boys and girls. And I remember these like little plastic eggs filled with chocolate candies. Like, I am pushing kids over to get my dose of chocolate for this religious holiday. I was never allowed back. I never saw them at that church again.
Your grandparents are like, we've never seen young Eric move quite like that. Look at him. He got inspired.
Give me chocolate.
Oh, my God. Look at that. A goose this gloop he is. Oh, my goodness. But here we are. We might as well just get into this. We are talking first about Detective Comics number 1084.
I want to talk about chocolate.
Yeah, I do too. Gotham Nocturne Act 3, Crescendo Part 1. Stop it. Board. Part, what, 80? I how long it is. I wish I did around there. Well, you know, Jim Bord, many a year.
Part 80. This time it's personal.
It is. Written by Ram V, art by Javier Fernandez, colors by Dave McKeag, and letters by Ariana Mayer. And we're going to maybe kind of hint at getting answers of what maybe will happen to Batman in the desert. We're not really going to find out. What we're going to find out is that Batman, he likes to smile occasionally, looks a little goofy, but also he's vengeance, he's the consequences, he's changed, he's this, he's that. But it's just,
and now he's back.
To me, there is no real oomph. There's no, it doesn't feel earned. And especially with him being back, it feels like not a lot of time has gone. And really, when he was in Gotham, he wasn't doing jack or shit. So when he says he's back, it doesn't have the weight that I think Ram V thinks it has.
Well, just think about the idea of this. Batman is back. We've been waiting a long-ass time, it feels like, to get this back. But in the meantime, for a bunch of issues leading up to this, we've had, like, half the issue was, like, Renee Montoya, the question, trying to get to the bottom of Detective Fielding's murder and who was responsible. And now that Batman's back, all he does is simply give her a thumb drive and say, hey, this shows the organs on the Wayne property killing Detective Fielding. It's not going to hold up in court, even though it's video of them actually murdering a man. For some reason, it's not going to hold up in court, but that doesn't matter. And I'm like, so you're telling me, even though us as readers, we actually saw the murder go down, like we're 10 steps ahead of Renee Montoya, the question at this point, but everything we saw her do means nothing now that Batman's back.
Well, and as you say that, one of my big things of this issue, I couldn't help but think as I was reading this, that this is the first time that I thought, oh, this is when Ram V found out that he was going to end at this certain point and realizes he hasn't really done much and he has no time to tie a lot of things in. Like that question thing basically tells everybody through this that all that question stuff, backups, all the things going on, it didn't matter. It didn't make any deal.
It didn't matter for the story because, like I said at the beginning, we knew what happened. So where are we going to take that story from there? Just her idea that, hey, now the question knows she's caught up to us? Like, is that what you want?
What they were going to do is this was going to be part of the evidence to bring down the organs. But then Batman shows up and says, yeah, they kind of got the court and, you know, in their pocket and this isn't going to work. So you wasted time. That's all that means. And again, like I said, when you have Batman in the city before he ended up getting hung like a horse, Eric, and ends up getting into the desert, things like that, right? Oh, right? I better hit this. You'll find out.
Obviously.
When you end up all this going down, like when he comes back here and he's like, man, no, but nothing feels like it changed. We only saw a couple things through pretty much Cass going and saying, I'm not going to forget him, but nothing's really hit to the point where like, oh my God, you know, what is Gotham going to do? And even what the organs are doing, everything seems like it's like a haze. And then when Batman comes back and says, all right, I'm here. Looks like the city, the crime might be down, but that's bullshit. Here's a thumb drive. This is bullshit. Like, everything is bullshit to him. And this dialogue is just Ram V trying, in my mind, to smoke a mirror ship because not much happens in this issue.
Well, even the idea of Batman coming back, because we have a lot of this issue where it's back in the desert where, like, Batman gets himself back, has a good old romp in the hay with Talia al Ghul, which I'm actually surprised that this isn't all over the internet where people have, like, you know, Catwoman, Batman, shippers.
Oh, yeah, I really thought so, too.
Losing their mind, because obviously I didn't look too hard to try to find this, but these things usually find their way to me. I didn't see anybody talk about this at all. The idea, like, yeah, we screwed around, we had some fun, and then I'm going to move back on as Batman. And I'm like, it's weird, but it's honestly the best part of the book, because Batman going back to Gotham, like, we have a montage of him taking out some bad guys who kind of remember him, it doesn't matter, and then him announcing to the organs that he's back by blowing up the side of a building into a bat symbol.
Yeah. And then some shit-talking girl like, your blueprint's on fires, Mrs. Organs! Like, what's
she's
going
on? She's dead now.
You end up, yeah, I said, she's done. So you end up, even the idea of this, oh my god, you know, the asthma, and like, none of that, like, you realize now that none of that really hit. It really doesn't. When you have Batman saying, I knocked him out because of the asthma, so you're like, okay, get on with it. Like,
well, even the idea where you have these asthma demon, gigantic blockbuster men roaming the streets of Gotham that he has to take out, he just has a low frequency that affects them, that's able to put them to sleep. And then later on, even when we have the flashback of the idea that, like, Talia al Ghul has the body of Prince Ars, and she plans on bringing him back to life with a Lazarus pool because he helped out along the way. He was the inside informant, just like his mother thought and killed him for. He is buried with a little music box. We've had this music box since the beginning of this whole organ spiel.
Yeah.
But we don't really have an idea. But, like, is the idea of the music box this low frequency to control the asthma when you don't want them to go all freakazoid on you?
Well, and is that a music box?
And is that
where
Batman got the idea to go back to Gotham with the headphones and just play ultra low frequency?
That music box drove us nuts at the beginning. That was a big thing until it wasn't. Uh-huh. Never really explained, just like the organ place, just like that. All of this stuff is ill explained and it's piled up, so it never hit. And when people are sitting there and they're talking to us, I'm like, oh man, if they're saying or getting mad now,
nobody's
talking to us, but they're saying, like, no, this really hits, and I really love it. Like, there's so many things that I could ask you, like, oh, what are the names of certain nobody knows. These things are never really explained. Yeah. And
I think
they're from Svat's draw. Like, that's mentioned here. I'm like, what'd you call me? Tell you.
Yeah, please. I'm pretty sure you actually wrote that country name down, right? Please try to pronounce that again.
Svat's draw.
And I'm sure it's fine. It could just be us being idiots and we're Americans who don't understand other places in the world, but
yeah.
I should be able to pronounce it.
Yeah, I mean, this is where Ram V says, oh, Leah Williams with your Formembia? Like, this is where it's S-S-V-A-T-R. S-T-A-L. That's, yeah, I don't know.
We tried.
And even then, I'm like, all I keep yelling is, how does this foreign family with only a D to the land of Arkham Asylum that they're able to come in and demand that the people are being hung like a horse. And, oh, wait a minute, I gotta hit it. Hung like a horse. And then also just running things in the out. Nope, this isn't like this is under, you know, the shadows. They're not like, you know, no.
They're not separated from the world from the cataclysm. It's not no man's land.
Don't give me this nonsense about the Thalmus engine that wasn't explained either. And in this, do they just flip the switch? What? And why didn't Gordon? We don't even know why certain people didn't forget. The Thalmus engine's very selective on who it ends up making forget and not forget and things like that. And I just don't get it. But even at the beginning, you have this narration. Again, there is so much over-narrated things in the metaphors, but it's the shape of wings, of talents, of a thousand screams. Not demon, not man. They knew his name once. And even in that, you can have these things react that look like blockbusters. No. It ends with, they knew his name once, and then Batman says, you know my name once. What? Why? 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 And then you have the next page, ba-ba-bat. Like, that's what you need there, ba-ba-bat.
No, just, I like the idea of Batman's back in town for the first time in who knows how long, but he's back, right? And he's like, he's watching these blockbusters move through the alley with these Orgrim troopers and shit like that. He's like, man, I'm going to pounce on this, but I got to get myself in the bat mood, the bat spin. He's like, I'm going to start talking to myself. The shape of wings, of talons, of a thousand screams, not demon, not man. They knew his name once. And then he jumps down, you knew my name, but he has to practice what he's going to say.
Maybe. I'm actually, and I was going to suggest
that, Batman.
that we go through this and just think of the narrator as a very bored Barbados who has shit to do. So he's actually narrating shit.
The fight no more, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. And at one point, Batman's like, Barbados, shut it. Like, I know what's going on, but actually likes that line and use it because it is an omnipotent narrator at points when Gordon says, tell me what happened, will you? You look like you have something to say, Batman, do you? And he's like, you're expecting him to say it. He goes, no, no, I will tell you sometime. To then get an omnipotent narrator, why? Why isn't he just telling him the story? And yet we get nothing out of it. Everything is more of, let's fancy this up, throw some words at you, but never quite explain anything. It's just, and we see in that Batman laughing up, I'm beginning to think I should have stayed asleep. Yuckity yuck. And I thought people were going to get very upset too. And especially because later, and really the whole thing of, you know, we're not going to continue the run, obviously. It's going to end, I think, at 89. But when you end up having all this stuff.
About 88.
It might be one of those. Maybe it's like 89. It's I'm like, there. You know, free at last. But free you end clear. Up where you have, you could start this little, like, you know, trouble little three, not a three-way. I got to hit this cashier this way. Not that, but more of
tell
like
me more.
A, like, because Catwoman gets things together to save Bruce. And uh-huh. But then Talia takes advantage of it to make sweet love with the Brucey. And then maybe that could be a play or something, because then when we get Catwoman at the end, I thought he was going to go bed hurt down. I was like, this is the greatest guy ever. I thought it was going to be like, oh my God, look at this play.
This is full of wish fulfillment fantasies.
But you end up even at the end with Catwoman, it really is, you know, you can tell that Ram V at least, but maybe DC, they're like, we need to distance this Bat Cat stuff, it seems. I don't know why, but you end up having this whole play in the desert.
You just got to imagine. You have Batman bedding down Talia al Ghul once again, the baby mama of his firstborn son. Obviously, they still have some feelings, and back at home, he's got his secret wife who's got weird powers from a trash can lady. I don't know what's going on. He don't want no parts of that.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to be around
trash can lady. She's Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, you don't need that. Oh, my goodness. She's grouchy. But when you even have where Batman's going, and I'm telling you, at points, I don't even know what these things are at a point. The one thing it's like a blockbuster type deal, but he's humongous.
An Arzen demon. Arzen. An Asmer demon.
Yeah, and he has his little earbuds. He's like, listen, learn, and go to sleep. And then they go to sleep.
You did it, big guys.
All I could think of, and at first, I'm like, wait a minute. Was that crazy? No, that was Joker year whatever beyond in that year one story where he found out that the bats using their crazy frequencies, sound frequency. I'm like, this seems too similar, but not quite. It's just everything just wraps around, especially
neither
with
one of those were good ideas. So
no, and both of them are playing this idea of Batman of the Minds, Zurinar. We have Barbados here. We have Arzen. We have all this stuff. But the idea that they're bringing back Arzen, and he sees us, and even then, where you just waste time.
Prince
where,
Arzen. He has a title, Jim.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm sorry, Dr. Arzen. You end up where Batman is there and, you know, making sweet love to Talia, as they sing, Eric, you got them. And then he ends up, she says, I'm going to, it's so funny that I don't really have to reach, but I'm like pretending to reach.
I can hear it.
You have Bruce like, okay, I'm just going to sit here in this tent. But then he gets a little curious like a cat and goes to see what Talia's up to. And just the weird thing that he walks in, he has to choke out a bunch of these guards to get in there.
Ninjas.
Just to have Talia's like, oh, come and have a look. Like, it's not that secret, and it's the body of Arzen. At first, when I saw it, I'm like, who's that grandmother? But then you end up where it's Arzen, and he's like, what do you plan on doing with that body? She goes on and on. He's like, no. I meant, what are you going to do with the body? And then she's like, well, you know, never says anything.
Bring it back.
Yeah, never, just bringing it back. And the idea that it could be that, you know, we kind of feel like we owe it to him because he did get killed because of him being the mole. That seems to be what
and
we
also
would
with
have
the
known
background
anyway.
About his father, like, you know, trying to protect the son by killing the husband, like the whole background of how the Al Ghuls are tied with the Orgums. So maybe even the idea of bringing Prince Arzen back is one of those old debts that she's fulfilling for her father, who she might or might not know of the mind of how. I'm not even positive anymore what Ra's al Ghul's deal is. Is he a ghost of the mind of Flatline right now?
Yeah, that's what it
I'm
seems.
Trying to remember how. Okay, just trying to make sure because it didn't
ghost
seem like Ra's. It was previously, and I keep getting it mixed up in my head. So. Maybe he's ghost Ra's and Talia of the Mind. Maybe it's just Flatline, but like, I know my daddy would want, like, you know, this to be something that he fulfilled in his lifetime. I'm going to protect the Prince Arzen just like he wanted to.
And so she, you know, shows Batman the little, you know, gummy Coke bottle full of Lazarus. Very odd there. I'm like, that's pretty cool. But he ends
up... It's a very short supply now after Lazarus Planet, Jim. Don't you remember?
You can only think that this will be so that Arzen can come and say, hey, first off, my mom murdered me. She poisoned... Talia says, we think that he might have been
murdered
poisoned.
Murdered my father. Yeah.
And then murdered all these people and then really is, I'm the rightful heir. I say, this is bullshit and leave. I think that that's all it'll be. And that's what Arzen probably is for. But
I believe
you even have Bruce. He's like, nothing good will come from this. Well, I brought you back, maybe. Yeah, but that's different. I like how he tries to say that. That's pretty, you know, I'm kind of like Batman's. And the Bruce is like, it's not the same. And she's like, well, we'll see. I'm going to see. And then says it'd be convenient if this whole deal. And it's just odd.
Well, even like, the idea is like, his whole argument is like, you know, Prince Arzen died because he rescued me. Now you're going to bring him back. Nothing has consequences. Don't you see? It's time for me to go and be those consequences. I'm like, all right, you're just going to say the idea. Like, if somebody's going to risk their life for me, I'm going to make sure those fuckers stay dead.
Yeah, I don't know. And when he goes and says,
change without consequences, the ultimate lie.
I love when he says to, like, everything he says just feels like bullshit because of what happened before. Like, now all of a sudden he decides, I'm going to do something now. I'm going to go, I've lost the city 80 times in the past 3 years. I'm going to make sure that I'm consequences now. And after that point, you know, the stuff with Talia, okay, and we have Arzen, that's the big thing. They're bringing back Arzen. When you go back to Gotham with Batman, doesn't feel like it's that wow moment of him being back. He's pretty much, first off, bitching and moaning that nobody remembers him. It almost feels like he wants a list.
Idea that he has changed now, and he has to figure out what his new role in this new spotless city, like how he's going to be the Batman, and what it means to actually be changed. And I'm like, look, you can say you're going to be changed and do everything, but you only have a few more issues till a new writer wants to come on and write Batman.
Yeah, and even then, when he comes in, I thought that maybe it would be he shows up back at Gotham and finds out. Maybe even have Talia, like, because she might know, obviously, more of what's going on. And she does mention, too, by the way, that she says, I had somebody, you know, grab Arzen's body, somebody on the inside. Yeah. We see a Shiva, and then we get a backup with that. Okay. But when he goes back, maybe it's one of those things like Talia doesn't want to tell, like, Batman that the Thalmus engine made people forget. And when Batman comes in and sees Gordon, he's like, oh, my God. Like, again, why doesn't he forget? But he says, oh, man, Batman, what are you going to do now that everybody forgot? Could be the idea, well, if they forgot, it's time for me to show them. What I want, like, it could be a reinvention for him. If everybody forgets the Batman, then it's a clean slate. He could do this different, or he could do it, but you know, he's never going to do it different. Like you said, Then you're going to end up having people come in, but all he ends up doing is talking about how he's changed. We don't really know how or why. We see little snippets and things. He walked through a desert. He may have been brought back from the dead. He had shit in his brain that's gone. But in that, like, the only thing that really has changed with him here is he bought new earbuds that he can play some fucking low-frequency deal to get rid of the... But that's so convenient. You talk about convenience. The convenience is the idea where suddenly he has a low-frequency deal that can get rid of the, you know, asthma demons in people's heads. That is so forced in to just
make it easy. Now that Batman's back and we see the Orgrim's plan all along is to give people with the Thalmus engine the erasure of Batman and the idea of his villains and stuff like that an appearance of safety, because we can be the villains of this book. I can surround myself with Black Mask and other unnoticeable, like unknowable people in this freaking meeting that we had, because I have no idea who half these people are. Half the time they don't even have faces in the way the art's done. But when you have this, like, people will just give you all the power and money that you want as long as they have the appearance of safety. So we're just going to sit back in our ivory tower now that we fixed things with the Thalmus engine, killed the symbol of the Batman, and this is the big bad Orgrim plan. Oh shit, Batman blew up a building with a bat symbol. It's time to fucking fight again.
Yeah. And so when you're doing this, you're playing that, like, just think of that. The idea of all of this, the Orgrims wanted to come in, they wanted people to forget about Batman, and then they're going to control things to make sure, again, this is what Selina wanted to do with the Gotham War. We've had this a million times. The idea of if we give the people what they want and make them think that they're safe. This is just so basic bitch story after all this time. to then and then have Batman blow up this building, which I hope he checked to see if anybody was in it. I don't know. Maybe that's how he changed. He don't care. He don't give a shit anymore.
It's such a weird idea, though, with the idea of the organs. How long we've been pretty much sitting on our hands trying to tell a Batman story. It seems like for, like, Batman to go back to Selina, the idea they just talk about, hey, you're not taking the subtle approach. I can't take the subtle approach, man. This is a different Batman, the one in the desert. What am I going to do as Catwoman? And then Catwoman walking to a warehouse to be met by the Joker for a big old cliffhanger to our main front up here. And I'm like, so now you're just going to add the Joker to things? Like, honestly, like if you would have had this in there previously, maybe people are jokered out. A lot of times I'm jokered out for the amount of... Exactly. It happens a lot because people want to write the Joker, but bringing the Joker at this point, this seems weird, especially for all the things that you could have had the Joker do for the, like, throughout the story because of the, like, them opposing Batman, trying to make people forget Batman, even trying to make him forget about a Batman. This just seems like something that the Joker should have been a part of. And now there's a cliffhanger to our last little bit, our crescendo, because now it's just going to, like, be Joker front and center. Feels like, hopefully it's not, but again, I say that, but hopefully it does something, because here we have Batman back in Gotham finally, and I can't say that we actually did anything.
That's what I'm saying. What we've had is, you know, the Orgums come in, they take over Arkham Asylum, then they take over more and more. You have a big explosion. You have all this stuff going on. But really, then Batman, he walks in the desert, walks back. Here we are. That's what we've had. Everything else is like smoke and mirrors.
Had a smile on his face after
that? Yeah, he seemed very happy. But
Prince Sarsen's dead body looks like a grandma?
It's so frustrating and so it's just boring. I want to see Batman do something in his books. He doesn't do anything in this. He hasn't. Everything is him just not even losing. It's basically us being told that he doesn't matter. And then when you get to this issue, especially with that stuff with the question, you're now revealing that all that other bullshit that you had in, and that points in place of Batman because he was gone. That meant nothing. You actually just slammed the door on that. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Justice doesn't matter. Here you go. Slam the door. Boom. And I hope that whoever does take his place here just tries to tell a Batman story. It's the idea. And I think it's hard. I've talked about this on other things with different characters. It might be hard to come into a book that a character is this old. People have their idea and you're trying to change it up or whatnot, but have a reason and make it interesting. And it really feels like at this point, I mean, he has a couple of issues left. He's got to do a lot of stuff to make this seem like it was worth it after all this time. And I just think that you get to the end and you, like, shrug your shoulders and say, well, Gotham be Gotham and Batman be Batman. Like, and here's where I would say to people, too, at the end of runs, especially something this big, you end up, we talk about it all the time, putting the toys back in the toy box. Like, really, all that... The Orgums get on a boat and leave. That's all you have to do. Like, nothing else really ended up happening in this whole play. And in that, when at the end, when people say, oh, man, it was great, because I think they're going to try to say that, say, the Orgums are like a Court of the Owls. Oh, my God, they were so great. But they're not in the shadows. They just come in front and center and try to explain to me the different things that happen. If you end up saying, yeah, but they had a thalamus engine to make people forget. Well, how does that work? They had an organ place. What was that? I don't know. They made people into the asthma that some were wolfmen at one point, but now they're blockbusters. How does that work? I don't know. Oh, and by the way, a low frequency earbud can just knock them out. Oh, what is that? I don't know. There's so many things we even talked about, and just bringing back the music box. That's not like people will say, oh, look, you had it all planned. Bullshit.
But what does it do? I'm just saying, it's the idea of the low frequency to affect the asthma. Is that just from him seeing the music box buried with Prince Arson?
And the thing in that is just me, because when I think of that, I think of a Jack in the Box. And you end up with those music boxes are kind of, like, they're usually higher
pitch.
You're
just scared, aren't you?
Pitch, I am. But, you know, it's like that clicking, clacking sound.
These are special music boxes, Jim. They're not the scary Jack in the Box that's going to get you while you're sleeping
at
night.
And if you really want to play that game, because we don't know, we don't have Batman come into Gotham with, say, the music box. And when they attack, he pulls it out and actually plays the music box out. Right? Because it would make sense. And where I think of the music box, if it is what you're saying, it is in the, why would you, it's in the coffin so that the asthma demons don't try to rip apart, but why would they?
It would be
protecting him in that weird way, but it's not, and I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where, like, when you have a mummy, you're buried. I don't mean your mummy, Eric, right?
Oh, okay.
When you end up where you have them there and you give them all their worldly possessions so they can have fun in their sexy self-afterlife, you know, the Prince Arzu, he just likes to dance to the music. That's all he likes. That's all he wanted. He's dancing it up. Looks like a grandmother. And so also, how much time was Batman in the desert?
Well, that's the thing. The idea that we actually had to ship Batman. Are you talking about how, like, the decomposed Arzu is?
Yeah.
Okay, but the thing is, you have to ship, like, by boat to wherever Batman is in the desert in another country and then trek it through the desert. It's really hot there. You know, the body is, it's going to decompose fast.
It is going to decompose, but when you see that, you start to think, like, how long was Batman? Like, I'm saying the city changing in my mind as we went through this, it feels like he's been gone a hot afternoon. I mean, I know that he's been gone a little more, but I can't say.
A very, very hot afternoon.
6 months. It's been a week. We don't know because of the way
things are. Bodies decompose way faster than you'd ever think they would.
I'm not even just saying about the decomposition. I'm saying in general, that starts to make me wonder because I couldn't tell you. Oh, well, Batman was gone 6 months. Okay, well, that makes sense. The city forgets. They're doing this. But you could tell me he's gone 2 weeks. I wouldn't be able to say, okay, well, that's wrong or right. I don't know.
No, mom, it's been a week.
Yeah. But again, he comes back as if he doesn't even, you know, when you go away from your town or where you grew up, like if me and you went to Warminster, it's been a while, Eric. But when go back, like if people go to college, when you come back, there's that store. Like things do change. But this way, he comes back and he's like, this city with spikes in front of the convenience marts. I don't even know what he's talking about.
What does that mean?
I don't know. And I don't know how long he's been gone.
Telling me how great the city is now. And I want to think he's telling me how great the city is now. But by this description, I don't know what you're talking about. Spikes in front of the windows.
And I told you that it seemed like Randy was going down that route where Batman would be taken aback and say, oh man, the city's better off without me. Maybe that's the change. But he doesn't really quite get that.
Not on my watch.
He actually comes in.
Let's fuck this city up.
We
Batman
know
style.
That the Orgums are, you know, not good. But we're not really seeing much of this. All we saw was that one guy. Excuse me, I have a question. Yeah, Mrs. Orgum Daria, I think that this is all bullshit. Take him away. He's like the emperor. No. That's all we saw, though. And so when Batman comes in, it's like everybody has this vision of perfect city, whatever. Who knows? And then you have Daria Orgum. And again, that's the mother's name. Ends up where she starts talking, but we never saw that. It doesn't hit. And then out of nowhere, Gordon starts spinning the yarn about a missing kid. This is all just nonsense. And saying, hey, they got forgotten without a foul of ascension because they're the undesirable. I'm like, get off your high horse, Gordon, let's go. And at the end, I'm just like, I don't get it. I just don't understand how this, it doesn't have any weight to it. It's just me trying to get through. And then we have a backup that ends up being written by Alex Pagnadol with Robbie Rodriguez on art, Patricio Del Pecci on colors, and Steve Wan's on letters. And it
and
just
talk
shows
about a
you.
Story that has no weight to it, no meat to it, because what we have for a backup is the idea of like, hey, Lady Shiva's working for Talia al Ghul to get Prince Arzen's body to wherever she is right now. And you know what? Cassandra Cain, the Batgirl, she shows up like, hey, mother, what are you doing with that box? We're going to fight a little bit. And what you're pretty much left with, even though I think the art looks really good for this backup, is that you got basic bitch Cassandra Cain who's fighting with her mother and she doesn't know how to feel about this. Her mother talking shit about like you doing the Batman thing. It's going to make you weak. And ultimately, though, Cassandra Cain helping her mother by saying, hey, go north because the asthma goons are going to be looking for you here. But you have a better shot of getting away through this area.
Yeah.
Thank you, daughter.
Also, speaking of Gordon, at one point or something, he's like, she didn't forget about you. And I'm like, Catwoman? Cassandra? The question? Like, there were a lot of people.
There's a bunch. Yeah,
and then they go to see
I'm
Catwoman.
Sure
so I guess
Paul didn't forget.
Probably didn't. He never forgets that guy. He holds grudges. But yeah, and the big thing with Shiva trying to, you know, kind of tie it in. But Alex Pagnadol is definitely like, oh, I have to write a backup to Randy. Let me get my metaphor dictionary out. Because here we go.
Because honestly, when I started reading this, I had no idea that it was a different writer for how it is presented. So it does flow. It's just the problem is I don't like the original flow, let alone the backup flow that
you
matches
mean, like,
it.
Laden with ghosts, Cassandra Cain lands with all the poise of a cinder block. Oh, okay.
Right.
That sounds like fun. But yeah, when she said that Shiva, who always, you know, why do you have that symbol on your chest? You get the standard Shiva here. The
it's
idea
every
that
time.
She's meant every time. But this one, maybe a little tiny bit better, where she says, you don't want to forget Batman. And to do that, you are trying to become Batman. That's a cool line. We haven't really seen it. We've seen her going around and trying to bust some heads and things like that, but not much of anything else. But she was the one who got the body of ours and playing like a mystery box type thing of something we know exactly because we saw it in the front up anyway. We actually saw her doing it. So you play that. But at the end, I just
want to read the narration of a page where Cassandra Cain is fighting these blockbuster asthma demons. Deal with the narration of, but Cassandra will not allow the knight to forget him, no matter the cost. Anterior genahumeral joint dislocation, acute medical meniscus tear, panic, memory, a curriculum of pain followed in silence, but more than mere instruction, a gift of wolfish new instincts, all bent towards the same goal, win by any means necessary. She moves like a rumor, Jim.
Yeah, like a rumor. She talks like an enigma, and she takes a crap like a question. I don't, even when you have Cassandra going down to the waterfront, all you have to say is, yeah, pretty soon the Orgums are going to change shit, but right now it's like the Orgum's influence will reach the waterfront soon enough, trailing bulldozers in its wake. And when the spoil settles, all will be safe. But for now, the docks still offer good hunting. I'm like, get the hell out of here.
It's such a weird idea, too, because I don't know the idea. Is it that we haven't purified the city where all the upstanding citizens and like the Orgum people haven't reached all the way out to Gotham, or the Thalamus engine hasn't taken over them yet off of the shores, the exterior of
we
Gotham.
Don't because have the
right
rules.
Now it seems like pieces of shit are still working the docks and Cassandra can go down there and do some Batgirl shit because why not?
Sheba, like she's back into the city, but what does this do? If Superman flies into Gotham, does he forget Batman? What else does it do? I mean, the Thalamus engine, is it...
What does
it's
it
like
do?
A MacGuffin. What doesn't it do? Like, the idea, if you're going to do this and convince people through this engine that Batman never existed, well, then you could do a lot of crazy shit. You know, you could keep up, but you don't know the rules. Is it that, you know, if you do meth, it doesn't work, and that's why the docks, you know what happens down there? Like, that, why does Gordon remember? I don't know. It's just there to be there. It's just there.
You're right. So, we should take meth so we remember Batman.
And it just ends up being that play of if we have a question.
Public service announcement.
Yeah, if we have a thing and say, like, well, why is this going on? Why would they allow, Thalmasin? But it's never explained. There's no rules to it. And I guess you got to shut it down, though.
It's the magic of a Thalamus engine. You don't have to explain it. You just have to know it is.
It is. It is. And Cassandra, she's starting
it
to forget about Batman.
It is the answer. You don't need a question, Jim.
It'd be funny, then Batman comes in, he forgets about Batman, and then none of it works. It just doesn't work. But people end up, like we said it before, where people... they just move on from nonsense because they want to like things, but you got to spell these things out. It's depressing, but what would you give it?
Ultimately, I think I'm going to give this a 5 out of 10. It's such a weird idea because we're going to get to the point of, you know, book of the week this week, and I think I'm going to fidget some stuff around. Maybe this is better than Power Girl, but I think at this point in time, I would
when
rather
you're debating
read Power
that,
Girl.
We know that it's a shitty week. Yo, sucker, it's the book of the week. Can I say that?
Oh, yeah, you can. It's such a weird... I want to give it a 5 out of 10 because, look, it's okay. It's not good by any means for the way that this story has progressed because you actually want something to happen and we're still feels like we're waiting for something to happen. The art's okay at times. I think the backup is better art, but it's just I find myself not wanting to read this book for everything we've been given and I don't have a good time reading it.
Yeah, I don't have a good time either. I'm giving it a 4, but also in this one it added the idea of a lot of the things, say the stuff that the question has been fully involved with. Told it means nothing. So that ends up taking out all of that.
And in my mind, even the backup's bullshit, because what does it really mean? Hey, Cassandra and Sheba, they got some problems with the mother-daughter. And
they're sending Arzen's body to tell you, which we already know outcome. And saw the outcome. So, and even so, if you played the idea, we saw Sheba on the battle. They showed a flashback panel of it. Oh, God. But we'll move to the next book. What is the next book?
Power Girl number 8, written by Leah Williams, with art by Eduardo Panseca, Hoyo Ferreira, and Becca Carey. And here we have our House of Brainiac tie-in, which I could not wait for because we're getting Lobo's daughter crushing this whole thing. And it's such a funny thing because the cover to this book looks great. It's got Power Girl over the title, but then Crush written over that with a little bit of spray paint. You got Crush in the cover. And I'm saying it looks great. It looks super sexy at times. But when you have Crush say, sorry to crush the party, Mike. That's not a saying, crush. You're actually ruining it by talking here.
See, that's the thing. That recently, I mean, what do you do in space when you steal?
In space, no one can see you steal.
No one can hear you steal. Like, what? And then she changed it in the issue. And this, sorry to crush the party.
I know when I go in there and crush parties.
You know, you have crush coming up. I heard I was your crush. That's all you need to do.
Again, that's bad too, though. Just don't talk. Just be there.
It's okay. Or, I'm here to crush your dreams.
But as silly as that is, the idea that crush, I mean, had to talk and like ruin the cover in my mind. The cover looks great. But when you get into the actual issue, and you start things out on the day that like Brainiac let all the Brainiac drones and Zarnians like let loose on Metropolis, we start things out with Omen and Paige Stettler, you know, Power Girl's new name's Paige. Paige is trying to learn how to roller skate. And for some reason, just the idea that a Kryptonian like she is can't roller skate is the most, it's the weirdest thing because she can fly.
But
even Omen
cares?
Says you have the core strength to keep yourself upright. And I agree, but you can fucking fly.
Why are they roller skating? I don't know why. And they're having fun. And then you get this weird thing. And I just want to point this out before I forget about it. The idea where you have Paige, she's desperately trying to roller skate. Right? So I thought that what happened when they end up where the Zarnians come down and also the Brainiac robots, I thought they were going to look at Paige here and think, you're nonsense, roller skater, get out of town. They don't want her in a bottle. But you end up even wonking that up. But they end up where you're going to try to make, I don't know why this is mentioned, because it seems like it's supposed to be this, oh my God, I see how much time has passed now. But you didn't need to, but you end up having Omen say, I wish I'd gone with you guys to Ferimbia. Power Girl, you weren't even gone for an hour here. But over there, it was like, what, a day? Like, why are you saying?
Yeah, we spent 24 hours in Ferimbia, give or take. Time works differently there. What does that matter to us?
Do anything to what's going on? Like, oh my God, I thought you were gone an hour and you were gone 24. Like, are we supposed to be? Do we have to know what's the next day?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like, the idea that it's only a day, though, I imagine it's like, you guys were gone an hour. How much was that in Ferimbia? An hour and a half. Oh, my God. What happened? That is crazy shit. They're just doing this. It feels like they just want you to know that it was a day later.
I guess for some reason. But even when we have the day later and we get done with that conversation, we are in the park trying to roller skate where Paige realizes that Lois is in the park doing yoga and she has to like bail on it because I owe her a story and I'm kind of late on the whole thing, so I don't want her to see me here on a day off. But she's doing yoga. She never actually got to that point in the House of Brainiac story because the House of Brainiac happened.
Yeah, yeah. So she's doing that, and they're like, oh, it's good she has a day off. No, that's her one day off, you bitch.
The greatest day.
So you end up where, out of nowhere, we have roller skating. Right? I mean, if you're going into this like, all right, the House of Brainiac, it's hitting. It's hitting hard. Let's go. You have roller skating. You have, oh, there's Lois to get you in the jive of the timing, I guess. And then you end up where...
Which still doesn't work, though.
Hey, where's Supergirl? Oh, she went on a date. Like, why are we mentioning this? She went on a date. She ended up giving me the address and the telephone number in case it's a weird dude. Maybe a super weird dude. But we don't... She got taken. I understand you're trying to do a regular thing, but it doesn't matter. We know that it doesn't matter.
Where Supergirl is at this point for no apparent reason, because it's early morning as far as we know, and they're just out in the park roller skating.
And we know that she's gone. We know that. So ridiculous. So then, out of that, Omen says, why don't you call Axel? I'm like, who the fuck is that? Oh, it's that guy. I thought it was Axel Rose.
You and I talked about this on the Patreon spotlight. The idea was we ended up talking about Power Girl. We brought up what books we're going to talk about for the main show. And you and I went on way too long during that about this book. We almost did like a mini review during that, it felt like. But the idea where this book, for how, like, only 8 issues in, and it just feels so much like nothing has mattered. Because you have had this guy, Axel, show up, who's like a super spy, gave us like a card to Paige, and like, and it's like the whole idea of trying to make this a love interest, but it's never been a thing to the point where it's like, well, you should really call up Axel and stop invading my personal brain space by doing psychic Omen stuff. But he's just scaling a goddamn wall, doing super spy stuff when she's messaging. I'm like, we don't know this character. Why are you bringing it? And even the idea, I don't know if it's supposed to matter or not, because in the regular House of Brainiac story, the Zarians came down and the Brainiac drones came down and they started water sports bottling construct up people with superpowers in Metropolis to take them back to Brainiac ship. And for some reason, Axel was one of the people that they grabbed.
Yeah, and then say that, and maybe that does show, oh, he's meta, he's this or that, but then they don't grab Paige. I don't think he will be. I don't know. And so you're doing this, and you have this idea, oh, call up this Axel, your guy. Because then Power Girl, I wish I had a guy. Oh, what about Axel? How do you know about Axel? I didn't tell you his name. Oh, I kind of mind read you.
I owe more money into our kitchen psychic jerk jar because I keep invading your mind against your will. Classic Omen. Classic best friend.
Every time I said something sexy or you did, that's why I hit
weird
that.
Weird science.
Oh, geez, that's the wrong one. Or I hit the cash.
Oh, my God.
That's the psychic jerk jar, because I'm thinking of that, Eric, the psychic jerk jar. But you end up with all that going on. Like, you have that. Like, what are we doing? I mean, at this point, I want Brainiac to not get them in a bottle. I want them to just straight up kill everybody in this book. I hate to say, when you end up where they're there and like, oh, I looked into your mind to get that. Maybe you should call him. Maybe I will. Maybe you psychic jerk jar. Oh, my goodness gracious. Even where Streaky is in the house and you end up having one of the robots fly by. Nothing has really played out. But why are we? This is nonsense. We have roller skating Axel. And then Axel gets taken by Brainiac and the Zarnians. And I thought, oh, my God, if this is the only thing, like this is her motivation to take, like you don't need any motivation to take down. You know, what is going on. But Omen gets taken as well. So that'll be that as well. But you see right now that Leah Williams is just nonsense. This is not going to mean anything.
For some reason, Paige doing her roller skating, she actually has a roller, like a helmet on, because she might get hurt, apparently. But when Omen gets grabbed into the water sports bottle construct that we're using for some reason to grab people, she immediately turns into the Power Girl costume. And I have no idea how she did that.
I don't either. She ends up just taking off her glasses and she's and in the Power Girl costume. I don't know
why
what
is
happened.
Why is she wearing a helmet? Is it just for show?
I guess the thing is, even if you are super whatever, she is in, well, for, she's in her
bottle?
Page. She's in her Page secret identity.
Yeah.
She might end up getting a ticket. The problem is, Omen's yelling Power Girl over and over again at her while they're going. So it doesn't really make sense either. But you end up where the Zarnians do attack. I'm not saying these are sports bottles anymore. And this, they look like I don't know, like wicker baskets. They don't look like sports bottles anymore. And so you end up where it's right at the point where Paige is sending the, hey, should we go out or something with me? And then he can't return the message because lo and behold, he's now on ship Radiac. Oh, no, he's not answering. She ends up starting to get a little bit over the top. Like he's going to come back from all this and he's going to have 80 million messages from her. No way is he going near her. Because she even says later, I think I'm going to message him and see if he's okay. He didn't
such
answer
a weird,
you yet.
Such a weird idea with this, though, because you have the drones coming down, taking all the metas and supers we have in Metropolis, like we saw in the beginning of House of Brainiac. And for some reason, Leah Williams is really just on to the idea that the Earth, like, you know, Tower Girls from Earth 2. And, like, you know, the symbiote ship, we had the whole idea where the Kryptonian plague was different because it was an Earth 2 Krypton that it was coming from. And that was a big point in the beginning of the story, like the series. And now the Brainiac drones won't take Power Girl because they scanned her and they couldn't really get the idea because she's from Earth 2 Krypton. So they left her alone, even though she obviously has superpowers. But it doesn't matter because they just leave her be because this is the MacGuffin that we have for them.
Yeah,
but
and that's going to be the one.
Lost with the idea for how Earth, like, are you saying Earth 2? Because since Flashpoint, we've had a completely new Earth 2, right? The whole new 52
don't even
was changed
get into it. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. They're using it as a MacGuffin. That's it.
I need to know, though, like, is this the Earth 2 current Power Girl, or is this the pre-Flashpoint Crisis Power Girl that was merged into our Earth 1? Because that's what I thought it was supposed to be, and the Power
you're
Girl
asking,
Earth 2 went back to Earth 2.
You're asking a two-year-old how to do quantum physics. They're never going to know the answer. They can maybe Google Gaga. It's not going to be the answer, Eric. And the whole idea of this is when we do bring up Earth 2, it's always to be that reason why something did or didn't happen, not really making sense. Oh my God, we scanned the symbiote ship, you know, the virus. Oh no, The virus is from Earth 2. That's just a connector to go. And then afterwards, nothing's ever explained. Nothing's ever done. And then this, it makes no sense because it says that Brainiac ends up, well, he knew people. He didn't know everybody's going to be there. Yeah, a lot of the characters ended up being, you know, shown up. But he would have just scanned to see superpowers. And there's Power Girl. Doesn't matter where the fuck she's from. She's the most, you know, one of the most powered up. They'd get her. But instead of Leah Williams having the idea where, oh, my God, you know what Paige can do? You know, fight off these robots. She could actually not be taken because she's strong and able to fight them off. But instead, it's easier to just say, oh, they weren't involved, even though we see that they kind of are and they're attacking her at points and then she's attacking back. Just have her be able to beat them off, but please, not able to save Omen. Beat them off. Well, I better hit the jar hit again, Eric. I gotta hit it. See, that's what you get. But again, do that. You know, make her capable, not the idea, oh, you weren't on the list. Because that's what it ends up being. You weren't on the list. They didn't take you. It's just goofy for Superman to then find her and say, I wanted to make sure, because that's what I thought. How the fuck is he going to think that? He doesn't know what's going on. They have no idea what's happening here. And in fact, they've mentioned in the two issues we've had so far, this isn't the normal Brainiac MO. They have no, they're very confused about what's going on. Yeah. He shows up and says, I kind of figured that your Earth 2 frequencies wouldn't have gotten.
Funny,
I'm like,
thing,
get out of town.
The attack just happened and stuff. You know, we have her going around trying to find people. Superman finds her, like you said, like, Brainiac is behind the attack. He somehow conscripted the Cesareans to do his bidding. I don't know why yet, but he's taken every metahuman and superpowered person from the city. Then why? You operated a different frequency, being from Earth 2. Their scanners didn't register you as someone they needed to take. And I'm like, you know an awful lot here that I want to know more into it, because I actually want to, like, if it's Leah Williams on Twitter, because I got to ask her, is your Power Girl from pre-Flashpoint Earth 2 or the
know.
New 52? Like, you know,
she'll say it all depends on the day. I'm telling you, what Superman, and then Paige is like, I don't get it. All he has to say is, we're playing Space Jam rules here, bitch. That's all we're doing. The idea that you are Michael Jordan, but
she's
you're
Jordan.
Playing baseball right now. You're not
oh,
a
no.
basketball player. So that's all it is. It's Space Jam rules when you were talking about
it. That's a great analogy. That's funny.
That's all it is.
I never put it together.
And so when you have this going on, it's also pointing out the fact that we kind of don't go with two, is that it makes it seem like Power Girl just showed up 2 days ago. She's not supposed to be. Like, everything gets wonky because of it. And it doesn't make much sense. Just have her fight them off. Have her fight them off as she's trying to get Omen
beat
and all
them
and they get it. Yeah, just beat them off, like, to no end. Make them, like, you know. I keep hitting the wrong things, Eric. I don't know what's happening to me.
I know what's happening.
I'm not feeling very well, I'll tell you that.
No.
But again, Space General, so get back to that. I was throwing it then. Yeah, why don't I just hit anything else? Like, what else do we
have? Why don't you just leave the buttons alone?
Why don't we have that? Okay. There you go. I think it's one of those, we only have 2 books. I'm like, ooh, friggin' clear. Not friggin' clear. But yeah, now we're going to get the idea. Remember when Lois said, oh, the city's fine. It's burning down. It's fine, because we end up, now that I know that it's, you know, Paige, the way she's acting, yeah, I don't trust, you know, Power Girl. And she's like, oh, my town, the A-town. I'm like, eh, get out of town.
Well, that's the thing. You want to see what heroes we have left. And you have Steel, who's protecting Suicide Slum. You have Hawk Girl, who's protecting the Metropolis Airport. Natasha, who is going taking care of Strikers. And that just leaves Paige to go and take care of A-Town. And, like, I'm like, all right. Meanwhile, we have Crush, who seems to be trying to shoo away Lobo's dog. And it's such a weird idea that you have this, like, the dog here. Because we haven't seen this dog in a dog's age, Jim. But Power Girl does see Crush here. It's like, oh my god, one of them Zonians. Time to fight. And it's just that we had the promise in my mind that Crush was going to be this big thing for the tie into the House of Brainiac. And essentially, she's here. Paige tries to punch her in the face, and then her sentient chain obelisk shows up and then takes down Power Girl to where, like, we also have Crush's new gang, the Holiday Girls. I'm like, this is one of those weird things. I wanted Crush in this because we don't get enough Crush. I think she's a great new character. Like, I say new, but, like, for the past couple of years, we don't get enough of, because she could be even better than she's been portrayed since the Crush and Lobo miniseries. But now we're tying in the idea of, you know, Etta Candy's Holiday Girls with Crush. I'm like, I want to know this story, and I wish we actually got more of this, because it feels like a weird idea to have a House of Brainiac tie-in to where she's half Zarnian. You want to see how she's going to fit in this whole thing, because this time it's personal because you have other Zarnians. But now the Holiday Girls, there's not enough time in my mind to actually get a proper explanation for things that feel right, because I don't know, are these the original Holiday Girls? Is this his Crush's Holiday Girls? I don't know how it works. They're just here with no explanation.
And if you're going to do it, you can't waste your time roller skating. I know that's a setup, but you got to get to a story.
So
and even with Power Girl coming down and seeing Crush, like, you know, maybe she doesn't know Crush, but Crush certainly does know Power Girl, and even says, I think Obelisk is not a fan of yours, and maybe because Crush isn't a bad cat, like, not a villain. And
no,
it's playing
she's
off now. Again, we'll probably have the fight before we become friends, but what you don't need in this is Holiday Girl. There's no reason. You have the character. You have the character Crush, who is your tie-in deal, and we're getting to see her when we don't see her a lot. If you're going to throw anybody else in, maybe Roundhouse shows up. Maybe some of the characters from this. But the Halliday girl? Like, why are you doing this? You're setting, this is what Leah Williams does all the time.
Crushes on the cover. You have her show up.
There's no reason to muddy it up, right?
For two pages, last panel on this, you introduce the Halliday girls for some reason as a part of Crush. But then you go off because I tell you, I just really wanted to see Crush in this. And like, you know, teaming up with Power Girl, how that would work. But then you spend more time on the idea that you have Zarnians who don't want to go back to Brainiac's ship, who hid in a dumpster, who stole tech from Brainiac that for some reason, when fired at machines, turns them into dragon motorcycle things. And I'm like, why are we spending more time with them?
What happened?
Why are we doing this? I understand we need a threat for this tie-in because Power Girl's not going to do anything significant,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, she's not going to go off and do things big. I want to see Crush. But yeah. I mean, what you're doing here is you're setting it up. And again, you have Crush. And the connection, I don't know if you know this, is the Zarnians. So mm-hmm. I guess she thinks they have to have this separate Zarnian group of young toughs. They actually seem like assholes to me. I don't know. They get out of this garbage can and have such great names as Ferret, Muskrat, Skunk. You know, cool.
You know,
and
classic.
Man, this stinks. Hey, you don't say that. And I also, out of nowhere, I brought this gun and shoots one of the Zarnians and it doesn't do anything. Must be broken, and then it shoots and makes, I don't know what, crazy
and I have
demon
to imagine,
cycle.
And not even the imagine. I have to wonder, this motorcycle that's just passing by that this ray hits, that, like, you know, it turns into a dragon motorcycle, then is this one of the Halliday girls? Because we just saw them the other page. They were all riding motorcycles.
Because that person's on the dead, and I don't know. But the idea that this is what we're doing in it just shows you also the one guy, the one... No way that this Zarnian is going to get away with that crazy hipster mustache. There is no fucking way. That guy's an asshole. But you end up like, and the one with the earring, like you see, like that ends up parties on, looks like an old grandma. Looks like my mother, for crying out loud. Probably South Philly Strong. And all these others, like, why are we doing this? What you end up having in this, though, is a lot of things that point out that it's not Power Girl. And then with Crush, like, you don't need to. You're doing too much.
I want to know this, though. This nano blaster that these rogue Zarnians stole.
What would this do?
They see it shoot a motorcycle. The motorcycle, like I said, becomes a weird dragon motorcycle. I don't know if it's a sentient dragon. We see it transform into this weird new thing. So maybe
it roars.
Maybe it's just an aesthetic that this motorcycle now has.
The streets, too. They're going to get in trouble. They should have to watch themselves.
Yeah. Those tires are not regulation.
Yeah,
but
no.
When do you see an idea where you could transform this? I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's sentient, if it's just an aesthetic, where I then say, oh shit, party on.
Dude.
Like, it's going to change other mechanical things into dragon things?
And that's the thing when they're there and they're like, oh man, this sucks. You all
suck.
And I want
to think it's just an aesthetic.
And then throws the gun down and then this changes everything? Party on? What? I think they just want to make a crazy motorcycle gang. I mean, that's all I can get from it. And they're going to go around.
You got the Halliday girls on their motorcycles, so you have two opposing motorcycle gang factions.
And now we're going to race for pink slips. We're back to that, Eric. And you have a cool rider, right? And
then
we're
going to
bowl tonight.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a cool rider.
It's Grease, too. They're going to bowl tonight. You got the cool rider.
Grease.
Where's Michelle Pfeiffer? Lorenzo. Actually, I think it's that one other guy that I always mistake for Lorenzo Lamas.
It's so funny because I saw Grease 2 before I ever saw Grease, so I have a weird, like, you know, feeling for it. Like, it is like my Grease for some reason, even though there's no reason Grease 2 should be anybody's Grease.
We love the song Cool Rider, but I also love Let's Bowl Tonight, one of the greatest ones. And I think that Maxwell Caulfield, I actually believe, might have been the Cool Rider. If that makes any sense. I don't know.
Handsome guy. I don't know.
Yeah. It reminded me of Lorenzo Lamas, he did. I think he was also made.
The Renegade?
Maybe, yeah. You know, the Renegade. Another, you know, handsome guy at one point. But in all this, like, what's happened? Like, when you get to the end of this, you're tugged so many different ways. And, Eric, I will hit the cash register.
Tug it up, baby.
You're tugging it up that it doesn't feel quite like a tie-in. It doesn't feel quite like a Power Girl book. It feels like a fucking mess is what it feels like.
But I will tell you this. Like a little feather in my cap, I guess people say that. I've heard people say that. Not good people, but I've heard it. There are no space lizards in this gym, just
not
like
yet.
I said there wouldn't be.
Yeah, we'll see.
We have Halliday girls who might be lizard people.
I bet you. And also, when you see that, I think the space lizards will be offended by that appropriation of a motorcycle. Right? It looks like a dragon, a lizard. telling you, maybe we won't get space lizards. I'll be very shocked that they don't come in at one point and save the day, but we're going to have to wait and see. But in this, maybe you needed them. I mean, the idea of Halliday Girls, that wasn't on my bingo card, as my wife says to me all the time.
Absolutely not.
No, and the idea of these, you know, like, these Zardians, they get out, this was their big plan of like, oh man, I don't think Brainiac will notice us. And we're going to go, but in that, they're not going to, so let's go because every superpowered person is gone. They want to take over the city.
And I think they're all talk, the idea thing, like all the Zarnians came down. They're trying to do their best. Turns out they're not very good fighters for the Zarnian gang with the like General Chakal. But the thing is, they were all beaten up by them bullies from the Neverending Story and thrown in the dumpster.
I think they were. And they also look like they're in like a really bad emo band.
Now this dragon motorcycle will be their Falcor that they ride down the street after the bullies at the end of the story.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah! They yell out. It'd be awesome. And then
as the bullies jump in the dumpster.
And then they run into a wall. And I like, what is the end game for these assholes, too? Like, they're just going to go back to the bottled city?
I just feel like right now that Joshua Williamson has at least something. I'm not going to say it's great right now, but he has something with this House of Brainiac story. Why muddy up the waters by putting Power Girl as a tie into this whole thing that's doing nothing?
I think that once they decided Power Girl would be in it and maybe get some sale, I don't know what you're going to get out of tying into this because this book is nonsense and this is nonsense. So, but when you get to the deal, like, I think that they might have just said to Leah Williams, listen, you're not going to be able to get involved in fighting on the main ship, the Brainiac ship. So you have to figure out a way that you have. And this is like, how do you come up with this? Like the idea of young Tufts gang. Like even then, do you think that these are just, are these the offspring of the Zarnians that originally got captured in the thing? And you can play the thing up with Crush then because they are like, you know, fathers. I don't know. But even then, Holiday Girls, motorcycles, this is the bullshit that we have. That I thought we were done with. That, you know, this is DC YOU bullshit at this point where it's just like, just make shit up.
I just want to Crush.
Yeah. And that's enough. I mean, you have Power Girl and you're adding Crush in the book. You could have them, you know, doing some shit. I don't know. I guess you have to have something. They're going to go after this motorcycle gang. You know, these assholes are going to, half the issue is them running around turning motorcycles into bullshit. It's bound to be.
It's just the thing. We just turned everything you had, like the momentum, into a joke, though, with this tie-in.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're like, yeah, nobody. Well, none of the tie-ins have mattered in so long anyway, so why not? Why not, Eric? But this is it.
I just feel like you had a chance to make Power Girl, like, you know, be something. The Power Girl series matter by tying it in what Joshua Williamson is doing with the Superman series right now. Because as far as I'm concerned, I think people like that series. I enjoy it here and there. Things don't always work out the way I want. But for the right now, it's an okay series. And I'm looking forward to this House of Brainiac story because it's different. And I want to know what happens. And I thought the idea, like, you know, tying it in, it's going to get people's eyes on this book that wouldn't normally be here. But it's such a weird idea that you'd be a Superman fan but not a Power Girl fan because they're both Kryptonian. I feel like if you're a Superman family fan, you'd be getting this anyway, even though the book sucks. But you had an opportunity to make this legit, and you said, no, I'm just going to keep doing my bullshit.
And one of the reviewers said it's a smart tie-in.
Smart
tie-in. Yeah, there's a couple reviews that are saying different things than I think. But as I often say, our buddy Ange, who is a big Supergirl, Power Girl fan, he gave it a five. And he said that it doesn't make any sense.
I trust Ange.
And he's just like, yeah, this isn't Power Girl. I'm not acting like Power Girl and everything else around. Just seems to be set up for gags and goofs and things. And I get it. But what would you give it?
That's the thing. It's like I was saying this whole thing where I want to, like, you know, make this my book of the week because I want to read it more. And the thing is, we started talking about it. I'm like, what was I saying?
I don't know.
The thing is, it's all got to go back to the idea. I want to see Crush. I want to see Crush doing stuff that's important to DC Comics. That's what I was looking forward to this book. But everything we talked about, I'm like, no, there's not a redeeming quality to it. I wanted to, like, to say, like, you know, somehow give this a lower score than Batman, but say I'd rather read this. But I don't want to read this. I just want to read Crush at this point, have Crush, like, mean something in DC. I'm going to give this a 4.
I'm giving it a 4.
I gave Detective Comics and I think Green Arrow on the Patreon Spotlight the same score. I think I'd still rather read Green Arrow than Detective Comics.
And so our book of the week and mine's the same. I'm exactly the same. And I think I'm a little higher anyway on Green Arrow, but I think that's just, the best book of the week.
I'm just trying to play because Green Arrow's not good either.
Yeah, but at least.
But I'd rather read it than Detective Comics.
Yeah. when we're at the end of this and we're trying to figure out a book of the week and it's so bad.
I don't think our scores have ever been this low for a book of the week, though.
No.
And we were just talking about the idea, like, oh, you gave a 6.5 for your book of the week.
There weren't a ton of books that we end up covering, so, you know, maybe that's the case. But this is that weird week.
A lot of these books, and they won't let me.
And just the idea, and what you said, I kind of agree with fully of, now I wish that instead of, and it, again, this is going to add a book to the whole deal, and people don't like that, but maybe Crush could have had her own little tie-in that we would have liked instead. I mean, having her, they're trying to wedge, or Leah Williams is trying to wedge these things and try to make it work. And it, right away, you can tell it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
I hope that somehow her roller skating ends up winning the day, that learns.
It's one of those weird things, too. Like, let's say that we had a Crush special tie-in to the House of Brainiac. Mm-hmm. Maybe even two issues
like
of it.
Anthology.
Something, but I'm just saying, give her own book to give her a tie-in, the whole thing, to show what she's doing, because it's the whole Zarnia and it makes sense for her to be there. Who would we get at DC Comics to write that to make it legit? Because I feel anybody they would get would just try to make it a joke, just like Leah Williams did.
Because I wouldn't get Mariko Tamaki back. I wouldn't put Teenie Howard on her. All of a sudden, it's Genie Wishes and multiversal nonsense. Again, they're going to probably get somebody, a female writer. I think that, and I don't, maybe. Tom King. Tom King is on it. Maybe you get somebody like Ryan Parrott in. He's been in a couple of the tie-in things, and I don't know. Tim Sheridan. Actually, Jeremy Adams. I'll just name Jeremy Adams on everything that we mentioned, because what I would think that Crush would be centered on is the idea. Remember, she was upset because Lobo, being her dad, makes everybody hate her right away. The idea of, oh man, I'm always behind the eight ball because everybody has that opinion of Lobo. Now I have to kind of act that way to kind of show them, or at least.
And now she's got this for everybody else in Metropolis to hate her?
And now all of a sudden, everybody in Metropolis is going to hate Zarnians because all of a sudden they just got attacked by Zarnians. What is that going to mean to her? I mean, you could do that. I don't think they're going to deep dive in this with Leah Williams.
It's
going to be goofy Holiday Girls motorcycle races. That's not the deal. Just because you have the chain doesn't mean you're off the chain. Right? You know what I'm saying?
But honestly, it's good seeing Obelisk here, because
but that felt like, again, I hope that she does more than just surface level dive and throw out things and say, hey.
I still don't think we got an origin for Obelisk. I want to see where that comes from.
I still think that's why we're going to get Space Lizards. And then they're going to be like part of the gang. They're going to be riding on the motorcycles, the hogs and stuff like that. It'd be crazy. There you go. But next week, and this is a weird show with two books, it's very odd. It throws the pacing and everything off. I'm hitting weird sound effects. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Great show length's fault.
Because I hit that. Next weird thing I'm doing that. I don't know what's going on. Oh my goodness. But we have a couple books next week. It'll be Patreon only. So if you want to listen to the show, and
no limitations.
Actually, some bigger books. We have. What do you think? What's your favorite book right now? I have to call Eric.
The thing is, my favorite book, I'm not going to talk about, but the idea of what I'm looking forward to most for our Patreon only spotlight next week is that Superman like special for the House of Brainiac tie-in, because hopefully it'll feel like it actually matters again. I need a palate cleanser to get me back into the old House of Brainiac.
You almost made me spit out the water I was drinking.
Why did I do that?
You're telling those jokes. Now I'm worse. You're telling those jokes like it might matter.
Actually, it might matter.
It doesn't matter. Now, here's what we'll be talking about next week on that show. We have three things. Maybe one will matter, but we have Flash Annual 2024.
Uh-huh.
Eric, that says that. And I'll give Number people one. A deal. It is Simon Spurrier, so it's, you know, going right with the idea of the continuing story. I think that we're doing that more often. Maybe people like that. The idea that you're not just having bullshit annuals with just goofy stories. Something like this Flash, kind of wish it was a little goofy story done by somebody else. But yeah, Sysberry, with Wally West MIA, Central City needs help dealing with the bizarre new threats that have arisen. So thankfully, Wallace West, Avery Ho, and Circuit Breaker are here to help. All right, that's what we saw last
week. Describe this week's Flash.
Telling you, I think that thing's in there. It says, but can they count on Barry Allen, who is having a crisis of his own? Yep, that just sounds like a deal. Now, by the cover, I think that, and this would make more sense, Eric. How about I'm going to do my own solicit. I haven't read the issue, obviously, but my own solicit would be with everything that's going on, Wally West is trapped in that stupid garden. Let's see what the fuck is up with him. Because it has him and it says Stranded in the Speed Force. That seems like an annual story. So I think that's what we might end up getting there. Who knows? I don't know why I even went there. Nightwing Annual 2024.
Ooh, the origins of B-Blood?
Yeah, why? Hey, here's my question. Of where somebody, Tom Taylor or somebody else, got the idea that Tom Taylor, who came onto that Nightwing book to stop that Rick Grayson bullshit that nobody but me and Eric kind of like. But why? Why would you center so much on that since you have done so much stuff on the thing that you had to replace because the book was in shambles and now you're just going back? It doesn't make any sense at all.
Because I have to go back and make it matter, Jim.
And what ends up happening, I think, with this annual is...
I'm Tom Taylor.
What else are you going to do? The book is told no story whatsoever. Can we get an annual where Marv Wolfman starts yipping and a yapping about the Nightwing? Can we? And I wanted to say, there's a couple of people that gave a shit about that.
Oh, really?
And I want to explain because I didn't get my exact thought out. What I think, and I think that we were trying to get out there and some people didn't get. The Marv Wolfman thing could have been good, but what Marv Wolfman was doing was not telling you how much he loved the character of Nightwing. He was there to tell you how much he liked Tom Taylor's in-universe Nightwing, and it made no sense. It was just nothing. You know, if he ended up where it was an essay on the back, then I'd be fine with it about how much Nightwing meant. But he was talking about the things, oh, you really did this good, and you did that tower, and you did this. I don't need that. That was a waste.
And also, it felt just kind of, you know, it's a circle jerk.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Look, I'm telling you, it's a nice thing, and people can enjoy it. I just need more substance to my books than people just jerking each other off.
I would rather have a little bit of a thought of what Marv Wolfman thought of Nightwing as a overall character that he created. And not a, hey, I'm in the universe, and I really like him because I have a pizza shop. Like, in my mind, I don't really think that Marv Wolfman's running a fucking pizza shop, so I don't need to do that. It's like, and Ghost Daddy there with him. He's making the pizzas to go.
Look, Marv Wolfman, just write a blog about your thoughts on Nightwing. I'd love to read that. I don't need it in a comic.
I would like at the end, and even if they did, you know, illustrate it, where he talks about, well, here's the idea. Actually, have a little bit of a comic strip at the end talking about the idea that he counts that money and laughs every time that he's the creator of Nightwing. He's like, what did you do? How'd you come up with it? Put a new costume
on him. Gave him a new costume.
Nightwing thing that was kind of a thing, and boom. Creator.
A thing that I didn't create that I took from a Superman story?
Yeah, creator. Oh my goodness. But
it's just that
yeah,
easy.
Like a couple people did actually say, like, I can't believe you guys didn't like that. You guys are jerks. You know, like, fun. That might be true. Yeah, I just, it again, it's one of those. But back to the idea that we don't need be the one. B ended up when we had, like, who liked the pirate
Dick Princess?
Grayson, right? Maybe you could, I don't know, I'm thinking of other things, but what has been set up? Can we have an issue where Nightwing has to, like, climb a ladder to get, like, a toy out of a tree and he gets all upset? Oh, no.
I'm so shaky.
I'm shaky. I don't like this. Or have something, I don't know.
I can't leap, but also it's just heights now.
I'd love to see Haley just trying to, like, walking in a circle. You can go three legs, Eric, walking in a circle.
Honestly, you could cross the line there. Don't make fun of a three-legged dog, Jim.
Maybe what we could do is get back to those boys who were bad. See what they turned out to be.
Yeah, you want to see
the
boys who were bad?
They ended up doing the bad things. They were the bad boys. I don't know. Maybe do something like take down Heartless. This is me. You can't do that, though, because we need all the other issues. Oh, Jesus, criminy. $6 to get. Who's getting the origins of the pirate queen B. Bennett? We'll like it. We like B. Like, she was again. And she, I think that again, I said it before, where it was the one thing where you're pushing Dick Grayson as being the saint of all saints, right? Not the saint of killers there, the saint of all saints. But yet he did diss B and just left her in the dust. And now he's going to do this. I think we know
some good
origins.
Times, baby, but I got my memory back, so I'm skedaddling.
Yeah, we kind of know the origins, though. I don't know. And then like, the final.
A deeper dive.
Yeah, but watch out. Don't make it a high dive. Nightwing will get the knocky knees. Superman House of Brainiac Special Number 1. It is Joshua Williamson. And of course, then in comes Mark Russell. Mark Russell the shit up, probably. Mark Russell, I like to say, is the Taylor Swift of comics. Not that a gem. The idea that he walks out of his house and anything that happens to him during, oh, we got 8 comic series coming out because he stubbed his toe, something like that. I can't stand him. But that's the House of Brainiac 2.5.
He's writing the Bibbo story?
Yeah, he's writing the Bibbo story. So I might get what I wanted.
Damn it.
Sus Bibbo. Bibbo steps up with the heroes gone and the city in need of some champions. Our favorite bartender organizes the community to save their beloved home. Everybody's going to get killed. Like, they're going to be out there trying to take it to the streets, and that fucking Zarnian gang on their dragon cycles are going to come by and just run the fuck over. And then we're going to end up having some things. Some of the things, here's what you get. An essential issue, they're telling you. Brainiac's secret history with Lobo and Zarnia is revealed. I wanted to just be, and then it says, how did Brainiac create a bottled city of Zarnia? I think he just went and bottled up the city, but, you know. Who steps up to protect Metropolis after Brainiac's army leaves it in ruins? We kind of know that.
Bibbo?
We know, well, Bibbo and also Power Girl, Steel, Natasha,
yeah,
and Hawkgirl. Will Lois Lane confront Perry White about his own secrets as he runs for mayor of Metropolis? Which I thought he wasn't, then he was, and then the secrets were now, but they're before. But maybe we'll find out.
How long ago was it that they brought up the idea that Perry was hiding stuff about Lex Luthor when he first came there,
yeah,
and now he's running for mayor?
Letting it out.
Is that what we're talking about now? Because that's actually kind of exciting to get back to that plot.
Well,
it's been so goddamn long.
I'm guessing it's just going to be something like they.
Because I thought that was forgotten about and was scared.
Yeah, I think that they're like.
So scared.
I was going to make that was the headline, but they said they were going to kill my wife. Okay, no headline. And how is Amanda Waller involved in all this?
Oh, boy. Old Mandy.
Mandy, she's got the podcast. That'd be hilarious. Now she's podcasting in Metropolis. Mandy here.
At our old studios in Metropolis.
I put the Andy in Mandy, is what she does there. I put the and in Mandy. See, it doesn't work
the
that
man
way.
In Mandy.
Oh. Oh, that's Eric. I got to hit the thing. Oh, wait, you're putting the man in Mandy?
I'm putting the man in a lot of things.
Here I am. We're here with the Metropolis. What would you call the Metropolis podcast? What would you call it? Like Super Something? Would you throw that in?
Like, I'm telling you, what, you have to have Super Something there, or the podcast of tomorrow.
That'd be pretty good. But then people are like, well, why am I listening to it today? There's a lot of dumb people out
honestly,
there.
Honestly, that's actually pretty good, too. The podcast of tomorrow, today.
Ooh. Putting the day in today, right? Putting the morrow. putting the morrow and tomorrow because T.O. Morrow is the side.
I'm putting the tan and Superstar. I'm Jimmy Scorch.
Jimmy Scorch. That asshole. Johnny Fever wannabe. Oh, and it says all these questions are answered in the crucial issue that connects the DC Superman size event. And then Bibbo steps up. So, yeah, Mark
that
Russell.
Already does.
Mark Russell. But those all be
I better not hate that.
We'll see. I haven't liked much of Mark Russell's stuff, but maybe in a small dose we might like it. Right? So all of that, we'll be talking about those books on the Patreon Spotlight. No limitations. I might hit the right sound effects right there. But that's it. That is it for this week. All of the links and everything you can find us are in the show notes. And that will be it for now. Eric, what do we say at the end of the podcast?
Everybody have a great week.
Week.
Keep it weird.
Weird.
And we'll see you in 7.
See you in 7. Your mouth. Every other show sucks.